Welcome back, everyone, to From the Hip. We have Brian Ellis today producing us. Benjamin Robinson is out gallivanting and doing some stuff. But anyway, this is Dawn Burks. I'm curating this happy hour, and today I have with me our old friend, Jen Emily.
Hello, I'm Jen Emily.
Yes, Jen, what do you do here?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a lot about crime and the law, and then I get to come play with you sometimes.
Okay, bet.
That's the best part.
And we try not to do any criminal activity in here.
In here. In here. We try to make it a crime-free zone.
We try to. But there's stuff. Okay, I was looking at our website
today.
Although
she has a purple wallet, and I kind of like the purple wallet.
It's kind of cool, isn't
it? Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was looking
at it. We'll see if it's there at the end of the show.
If you ask nicely, I might just hand it over there. We're off the rails.
We are.
Look at Brian.
He's shaking his head.
I know. But you know what? It's that kind of day. So I woke up this morning, and not the first thing I do every morning, but something I have started doing a lot is I hate watch Megyn Kelly.
Really?
Yes.
I've yet to watch her.
It's a thing. I think it's a thing. I'm going to ask people, are they hate watching her? Because, like, I cannot stop watching her.
I read about people hating on watching her.
So,
but I don't haven't watched her, so I can't even hate watch her.
So I guess it is a thing, and I guess I'm not alone. Because I was feeling some type of way, because you know and I know that I had a visceral reaction when Tamron Hall left the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that hour away from Mr. Roker, from Uncle Al.
Who apparently rode Megyn Kelly in on his bike or something like that.
All I know is they were like rolling out all sorts of colored carpets for her. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
And she is sucking all the air out the room.
Well, I wondered one thing about how, which this has been weeks ago, but it's still like, she did what? In the middle of an interview about a movie that Jane Fonda and Robert Redford did,
yes.
She asked Jane Fonda about like having work done.
Which, about her plastic surgery.
Yeah, which Jane Fonda is open about, but Jane Fonda's like, really, really? We have this little short window of time and we're going to talk about my
right.
appearance?
Can we talk
which
about
she
my
looks amazing.
Right,
but
can we talk about my work?
Right.
And so it's like, Megan's trying to play this new character, but honey child, we remember what you said about Santa Claus. My memory is not short.
No.
You know, I forgive, but I don't forget.
But have you forgiven?
God does, but I don't.
That's what I thought.
I'm just saying. I'm trying. But okay, so I'm watching. Anyway, that's my long way of getting into what you and I have been trying to talk about for a long time now is just TV.
Yes,
just
TV.
All the TV.
So much TV. And then there's going to be more TV.
Yeah.
I can never catch up.
It's TV on top of TV. Like, okay, we were talking the other day, and what's happening is that we can't even talk about the new stuff because what are we doing?
We're catching up on the old stuff. And now old stuff means, oh, it came out in May. And so I haven't watched it yet, so it's old. But it's really not. It just came
right.
out in May. Like, Handmaid's Tale. I just finished
yes.
it up.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
I just got, like, in the middle of it because
okay.
I'm so far behind.
Is it not physically painful to watch?
It's so painful. I had to take like a month long break from it.
I had to take a couple day break because I'm watching it and it was like causing me physical pain
mm-hmm.
to watch.
Mm-hmm. I know now why I won all the
like,
awards
it's
though.
Very different than say 12 Years as a Slave. very
yes.
different.
But
similar in that it causes physical pain to watch
but
someone go through these experiences.
They're both horror movies.
They are both. It's horrible. It's horror.
Yeah.
And she can't do anything. He couldn't do
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. I mean, you can
for fight back a little
right.
bit.
You can't equate the two, of course, but you can put them in the same genre. And that's what I'm doing. It's horror movie. I mean, it's like, and then the fact that Handmaid's Tale has so many it alludes to so many things that are happening in our lives right now, or that we could see them becoming that thing.
Yes. And also, another thing that, for me at least, it's like I could not watch either one alone and then not talk to anybody about it.
Right.
It's like I would need to unload all I have seen.
You need a support group.
You need a support group.
Well, see, this is why, and I'm going to tell you, that I became obsessed with Claws on TNT because it was just cray cray. I mean,
for those like me at home who have not watched this show, give us a little. This is what it's about.
Girlfriend. Niecy Nash plays the owner of a nail salon. Now, this nail salon launders money.
I have heard about this.
For the pill mill, that's a clinic that's in the same strip mall run by the Dixie Mafia.
Oh, this sounds fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating. The head of the Dixie Mafia, his name, they call him Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy. Interesting.
It is set in Florida, where all the wild things are.
Yeah, and if it isn't Florida, it's Texas.
So, right.
And sometimes it involves both
states. Sometimes it involves both. And I can't wait till these women hop in their car and bring a dead body to Texas. I mean, Claws is the escapist fantasy that every manicurist needs.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Yeah, because like Handmaid's Tale was just, like you said, I needed a therapy session after I was done with it.
So much therapy.
Yeah, like I'm running around kicking the soccer ball with the kid. That tells you something, because y'all need to look. I ain't running around. I don't do the running round. But that, and then, okay, you finished Iron Fist.
I did.
Moving along.
Let's say it was Iron Fist and Danny Rand were somewhat redeemed in The Defenders.
Yes.
Only because of Luke Cage's presence. That's the only way I can tolerate Danny Rand.
They announced a date for The Punisher today, and I don't know why I brought it up, because I forgot it just as soon as I brought it up.
But it's soon.
It's soon, because they have been just teasing late 2017.
Now, do we think there's going to be some Daredevil crossover?
I think it has to be.
Because that's how he was introduced,
yeah,
right?
But one thing about The Punisher is, you know, it's going to be dark. I'm going to make you guys jelly. I do have the first few episodes, but I am almost afraid to watch.
Okay, there's so many afraids. Like, are you afraid that you'll love it so much and then you won't be able to watch the rest? Are you afraid that it'll be Iron Fist-like? Are you afraid that you'll make you miss Luke Cage and Jessica Jones? I mean, you know, there are so many levels of fear.
There's a couple of those, I guess.
Yeah. I miss Luke Cage and Jessica Jones
all the time. But my main fear is that I will watch the first few and I will not be able to watch the rest immediately. Because I think, I mean, John Bernthal as Punisher. I mean, yeah, Thomas Jane did a good job in the Punisher movie. I actually liked that movie, the one with John Travolta, but most people didn't. And was it Dolph Lundgren that played him way back in the day? Anyway, that one was pretty bad. But all of his were pretty
bad. Wasn't worth remembering.
Right. It just wasn't. Wasn't even worth remembering who starred in it. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the Marvel shows, they are all over the networks.
They are. And
have you seen The Gifted?
Okay. No, I haven't seen The Gifted. And I watched a... like a clip or something, and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, it's not bad.
Not bad. So I should give it a shot?
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Did you watch Legion?
No.
It's on FX. See, so they've got Marvel shows all over everything. The properties that people are familiar with seem to be Netflix and ABC.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans.
Which isn't back yet.
Inhumans. Which is...
I watched a little bit of one, and I was like, are you kidding me? What?
It's not as bad, but I wish they had done with it what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Just had fun with it.
It's too serious. It's like, Are you going to have fun? Or are you going to be serious?
Yeah,
and there's a line you can walk.
But it's so outlandish that you need to just go ahead and err on the side of having fun. Because, I mean, okay, Queen Medusa, her hair is like prehensile. It kind of does its own thing. Like she can actually turn off the alarm with her hair. I mean, my hair is awesome and gravity defying. And
you should be on this show.
Right. And all sorts of other accolades that you can give it. But it can't turn off my alarm in the morning.
If only.
Chick has issues. I don't want hair living on my head
like
that.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm looking forward to it returning. I started watching when it first aired, and I watched for a season.
Yeah.
And then around about season two, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
And then I think I was sick one day, and it was, I think I was either still recording or, you know, I watched it on some streaming service.
Yeah.
And just the binge of it, it got good again.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, it's sort of on probation, but I still like it. It's like with Scandal.
Well, you got to finish Scandal now because
it's
the last
season.
Oh, yeah,
totally finishing Scandal.
Except I am so over Olivia. I'm over. You guys should see us. We're both like, you know, with our hands, with our palms up.
Okay, did you see the last episode?
I'm saving it.
Oh, okay.
You can go. No, you know I don't care.
Okay, so, you know, she's hooking up with this reporter, which is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we follow.
It's lazy writing.
It's lazy. But then,
it's lazy writing.
You know, they're hot and heavy in the elevator, and they're stepping out, like, to go into her apartment. And there is the president. And he's just all like, hey, Olivia. And it's like, let her have a life. Either be together
or
don't
not.
Be together. Go make jam or don't make jam.
Did you say make jam?
Yes, don't you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I know.
I'm like, was it something else? Wasn't
it
jam?
No, it was jam. It's, I mean, there's, here's the other problem, is that when you do discover something good in this golden age of television, if it gets a season two, when that something else good that comes along, you can't go to the new because you're still trying to keep up with the good new that you just found. Like The Good Place. Have you seen that?
Oh my God, love it.
Love The Good Place. And then that whole switcheroo, spoiler alert, I guess too late to say spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, they don't know what that means. But Kristen Bell, like, I love her. Like,
yeah.
I loved her in Veronica Mars. I just really just want
to
see.
She seems to be universally beloved.
And she seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
She does nice things for people. And
yeah, like how she put up someone's entire family when she was down
in
Florida.
Yeah, Josh Gad,
Josh Gad's family.
Voiced Olaf.
Yeah.
His parents didn't have a hotel room, so she got them one.
Yeah.
And
she took care of his whole family when she was down in Orlando.
Anna Hart's Olaf. And I don't know, she sang for people who were at a shelter. And it's like, you know, I don't know.
She just seems
that nice.
And it turns out that, like, she and Ted Danson have become, like, really, really good friends. Like,
he's like a
father figure now for her.
Ted Danson, who, you know, back on Thursday Night TV after was that the 80s of Cheers?
Do you remember when he was dating Whoopi Goldberg, or was that a movie?
I think it was both, too. I don't know. Did they start dating after they were in the movie together? The 80s were weird. Yes.
The 80s were really weird because that was that movie Made in America, I think, with Will Smith, one of his first movie roles, and Nia Long. She found out that Ted Danson's character, who was a used car salesman, a smarmy one, was her real father.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that.
Do you think Whoopi told her that she molded her from clay, kind of like the Wonder Woman story?
Probably.
So, okay. We do have to talk about the elephant in the room. We know we don't have a lot of time left, but we have to because it affects, we're women. So it affects
us.
We're
Me Too.
We're talking about Me Too. Hashtag Me Too.
Did you hashtag Me Too?
I did hashtag Me Too.
I did not hashtag Me Too, but I kind of felt like I didn't know anybody. I would have been surprised if there were people who weren't Me Too. Like, right. I saw, what I was surprised about Me Too is how many people were like, oh my God, I can't believe all these Me Too's.
I was surprised at the surprise.
You know, those little back rubs that women get, that's a Me Too.
Well, see, I have come to a conclusion that there are so many men who are unaware. There are tons that are skeevy, mm-hmm. just like women. I mean, there's skeeviness in every race, color, creed. But I think I've come to realize that there are just so many men, because of the way society is set up, that believe, like, I'll never forget when I fell down a flight of stairs when I was in my youth and broke my left side, right? And I remember walking around.
Okay, your whole side?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. It
Not
hurt.
To take away the seriousness of right. Me Too.
But, right. But
know, I needed clarification.
That's an aside. You got it. But I remember I had this ginormous cast on my arm from, like, my rotator cuff to my middle knuckles. And I was walking with my boyfriend at the time. And everywhere we went, people would make a joke about, oh, what did she do? Did she drink too much? Did she drink all the water? Or did she, you know, it was always something about domestic violence, something about
what did she do to make you beat her?
Right. That kind of thing. And then it put me in the frame of mind starting to think about this, that these people, some of them knew what they were doing. Some of them were just making this joke because it's something that has been allowed to be joked about mm-hmm. for so long.
And that's the thing. A lot of this, what happens to women, does happen in private. It's the sexual assault, rape.
Yes.
You know, when people went to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room, I mean, mm-hmm. that was private. But a lot of it happens out in the open, in bars, in workplaces.
Yes.
You know, it's,
and women don't feel empowered because so many of us aren't in power positions and we don't have the backing. And then you watch the ones who do say something and what happens to them, and it makes you not want to say anything. I mean, it came home to me in a really real way just yesterday. When I open up Facebook, I'm on Facebook all the time for work, not even just for personal. And one of the first friend requests I got was from someone who made it so that I could hashtag Me Too.
And they probably had no idea.
Had no idea. Probably. I tend to think this person does, but I do know a few that no idea.
Yes.
And until you explain to them, there are people who I think of as allies in any other way that I find myself explaining what I feel are the most elementary things about male-female interaction mm-hmm. and how things can be perceived from the feminine point of view.
And there's a lot of people who didn't Me Too because they feel like, I shouldn't have to open up my personal
right.
life to explain to you that it's not okay to say this, do this, touch this.
I thought about it for 2 days before I hashtagged Me Too. And then I didn't do a big Facebook post. Of course, I'm yelling and screaming into the world now. But then I didn't do a big Facebook post because I didn't want the questions. I didn't want the inbox. I didn't want to have to think about it because you relive this stuff, you know?
It's some people are empowered to tell their stories and want to tell their stories, and some women don't. Yeah. And
or you think about the
women. You can apply that to anything. It doesn't
anything.
Even have to be sexual harassment.
Yes.
It doesn't end sexual assault.
I mean, I was a sports reporter early in my career. It was, you know, it was word assault. Mm-hmm. How can you write about football? You never played. Yes, I did. Middle linebacker. Powder puff.
There you go.
I know it's four downs and out, just like you do. I can read the same book and watch the same game and learn the same way you do. But anyway, we just, it was in the room. We cannot let it lie there. And Weinstein, the sheer smuggery, just the way he looked so smug when he was talking to reporters. Hopefully I'll get a second act or this or that and other. And it's just a long line. Bill Cosby, Woody Allen. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Watch the Carmichael Show, the Bill Cosby episode. They come at it from every point of view on the situation.
Can you watch the Cosby Show anymore?
I think so. I know you can watch A Different World. No, I watched a marathon the other day.
No. I mean, cannot. I know you can. Right. I mean, will you? Could you?
Could I? I think I could.
Because I love, love the Cosby Show. I mean, who didn't want, to be in that family?
Yes. And it meant so much at that moment that it was.
It did. And now it's kind of like, I was like, well, if I saw an episode was on, what episode would it take for me to definitely watch?
You know?
I mean, Real World Apartment.
It would have to be the episode with the anniversary episode where they're singing Night and Day.
That was my other one, Night and Day. I mean, it would have to be like if I saw that, I would definitely sit down and watch. Like yeah. I would, where it wouldn't be a conscious decision, but it's like for me to click.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It almost I have this weird relationship with it because I hear all of this stuff. I can't and I won't discount the women who have come forward, and I can't discount the things that he has said that he's never once said. Oh, I didn't do this. He's just like they're lying. That kind of thing, you know. That's different. Those are two different things. But I'm also in the camp of this show is just so important for a group of people who have been marginalized on television and had never seen representations of themselves on screen that looked like that.
And it was also important for white America.
Yes, to see
this family unit, a very loving family unit.
Yes.
Where you have a doctor, you have a lawyer.
With professional parents.
Who they are there for their kids. They love their kids because there are, like you said, there are a whole group of people in America who had never seen themselves represented on TV, but it had so much appeal.
Yeah.
And it's horrible that this takes away from that legacy.
Right. And all the other people.
And it does, yes. But you still have to love the show for what it was.
Right. And all the other people who helped build that legacy, like Felicia Rashad,
yes,
who is chilling on Empire right now.
So,
she threatened to like yank somebody's spine out of their back the other night on Empire. I was like, what?
Claire Huxtable?
Claire? I mean, Claire was tough, but Claire wasn't, she wasn't Cersei. But
although that episode where Theo got caught with a joint in his book, she may have been about to do that to him, yeah.
Right? Or that time Vanessa stole the car.
Yes. So
man, we really did grow up on that show.
we did. And then
we did. Well, okay.
A Different World after
Different World, and A Different World is celebrating an anniversary this year. Steve Harvey, earlier this year, had a reunion of all the characters on his of all the actors on his talk show, and it was really interesting.
I missed that. I'm gonna have to find that.
Yeah, Cree Summer, who played Freddie, she is like a serious voiceover actress. So like, you can watch any animated superhero anything and hear her. And Kadeem Hardison, who played Dwayne Wayne, he is now on Casey Undercover on the Disney Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Jasmine Guy, who plays his wife's sister on that show.
Remember her music career?
Oh, yes, because I love that song. She had this song called Try Me, and she sang it with kind of the accent. So it was like, you can dial my number. It's toll free. If you ever need me, just call 1-800-TRY-ME. I used to sing that. I used to sing that. Okay. Speaking of somebody else who like just took over entertainment, I talked to Tyler Perry.
Mm.
Yes. And I wrote down Halloween over here.
You went to
see
him in person. You didn't just talk to him.
I didn't just talk to him because, girl, we actually have friends in common. I was like, look at us.
Don had a moment.
I had a moment. I did have a moment. But, he gets a lot of flack for playing a woman in a dress. And, right? But I went to see this movie. It's just pure fun. I mean, it's not going to win any awards for anything, and he cops to that. because the editing was bad, the acting was bad, the just everything was bad, but it was
sometimes
funny.
Sometimes we need pure fun.
And that's what he said.
For Butu, a Madea Halloween, it seems like you're having so much fun. Like it comes through on the screen.
Yeah,
are
we,
you?
Yeah, we are. We are having fun. It's just something about working with Cassie and Patrice Lovely. Those women, when we get in a room, we are just having a ball. Yeah, yeah.
How much ad-libbing are you guys
a
doing?
A lot. There's a lot. Because when we put the costumes on, these people just show up and say all kinds of things, and it's so funny. You think it's funny while we're shooting, you should see what's happening in the outtakes that couldn't be in the movie. We couldn't even put them at the end of the movie because the movie would have been rated R. It's hysterical. Yeah.
He feels like at this point in America, we just need to go laugh. And I'm going to tell y'all, I wrote this profile of him on the website. There's video of me in this kick-ass, I'm sorry, in this fire dress that I'm scared to wear it again because I don't know if I can look that good again. I just don't know if that can be done.
So this is your recommendation?
My recommendation is that if you need some pure escapist entertainment and you don't mind watching a 6'6" man in a dress deliver it to you, just go laugh. You know, forget about it. And my recommendation is to go on the website and click on the story and watch the video because Sister Girl needs you.
We'll be tweeting it out. Okay, so my recommendation.
Yes.
I just went to see Marshall, which is all about Thurgood Marshall.
Chadwick Boseman. I wrote something about him, too. Go ahead.
We'll be tweeting that out, too. So I'm saying, you know, Dawn is all, like, if you need to just have fun. This is, if you need to be uplifted, if you need to, you know, if you feel troubled about anything that's going on in our country,
sweet
in your life,
low,
go see this
jam.
Movie. I mean, it is not an all-encompassing movie.
No.
It is about one case and sort of, you know, hit
I like
what
that
he
they
had,
did that.
And it takes one case in Connecticut. And sort of what happened.
And we're talking Thurgood Marshall here, who was the first Black Supreme Court justice.
Yes, and who, for our Dallas audience here, worked to desegregate Dallas schools.
Mm-hmm.
And in a Supreme Court case that where the Supreme Court ruled you could not discriminate on the basis of race, he cited, in his opinion, a Dallas Morning News article.
That's all right,
about
right there.
That showed that there was racial discrimination in Dallas County and how prevalent it was.
Yes, look at us at the forefront of change.
So, you know, those people who wrote that story have always felt honored. And every time I think of him, which is actually surprisingly often, I always think about that story. But anyway, one case, and we mentioned Josh Gad earlier. He's in the movie.
He's in the movie, yes.
He plays an attorney who...
he serves as the mouthpiece for Marshall.
He is the mouthpiece because the judge will not let Thurgood Marshall speak in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And basically...
And this wasn't that long ago, y'all.
Josh Gad has played this attorney, his last name is Friedman, and he basically, you know, he doesn't do criminal law. He doesn't really want to get involved because what will people think about his reputation?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could tell, like, Thurgood Marshall's just kind of goading him and pushing him to do it. Like, you didn't know you wanted to help people. And, you know, kind of spoiler alert, Mr. Friedman goes on to work with the NAACP and does many, many great things.
Preach.
Beyond this case. So you want some uplifting, go see Marshall.
And you want some laughter, you go see Boo too.
Hey, and double feature.
Now, and here's the real recommendation. See Boo too early so you can cleanse your palate by going to see Marshall later.
There you go.
We're just telling you how to do it. Okay, now the story I wrote about Boseman, and then of course we're going to have to go. But I always got to get a plug in, right? The story I wrote about Boseman is basically this. Chadwick Boseman plays historical figures on the regular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is a man who has been Thurgood Marshall, Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Martin Luther King Jr., and now Black Panther.
I mean, the man is going to win an Oscar at some point because he's
good. He's just going to keep going until they just give him one just because he keeps trying. They're like, here, just take it. But my thing is, like, okay, I know he's a very, very talented actor, but at some point we're gonna get confused because he's played all these people.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
We may not confuse Black Panther.
No, maybe.
Not a historical figure, just in case you don't
to you.
Just in case you don't read the comic books. And, you know, you.
Girl, I already got my outfit picked out for the premiere of Black Panther.
I'm ready.
Girl, I'm wearing.
It's February, right?
I'm wearing kente cloth and a head wrap. And I am going to march in there like I own a. Like it is Wakanda. And I'm going to go see the movie about five times. I encourage all of you to go see it five times because we need it to make so much money that they have no choice but to make five more.
Did his character, was it he in Captain America Civil War?
Yes.
Is that so good?
Yes.
Like, I was ready for the movie.
King
right
T'Chaka
after that ended.
Died and T'Challa took the helm.
I could have watched it immediately after that movie ended. I have been waiting.
I know. This is going to be so, okay, you and I down, we're going to see it like five times.
Of course.
Together and then five times apart. Chadwick, if you out there, if you're listening, and those people who might know him, since, you know, I got some 6 degrees of separation with Tyler Perry here, maybe Chadwick, maybe it's some 8 degrees.
Maybe fewer.
Yeah, maybe fewer. You need to know that Jen and I are going to put you on the map, dog.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This is From the Hip. We are on Twitter at Still From the Hip. We're on Facebook, From the Hip. I am Dawn Burks. That's B as in boy, U-R-K-E-S at Dallas News. Never mind. That's wrong. I'm Dawn Burks on Twitter.
I am at Jen Emily on Twitter.
Yeah, and you just find us and talk to us and tell us what
you want
to hear.
Oh, wait, no, I'm at By Jen Emily.
Girl, we don't know nothing, do we?
We don't.
We know what? We started talking about Chad. We both went and just lost it.
I know.
Black Panther.
We were off the rails in the beginning.
We were, and off the rails at the end. We're going to see y'all later. Bye.
Bye.